Hello, everyone, and good morning. Welcome to our Big Brother 19 live feed update for August 23rd. And today I have brought you a very, very special edition of our live feed update because Zingbot has entered the house and the episode will be airing tonight. So we thought, you know what? Maybe we can come up with some better zings. And I've got the best zingers in the game here, Brent and Lita. How you doing, Brent?
Taryn, people say that as the new host of the LFC, you're just a bad facsimile of Jordan Parhar. But I disagree. JP was just as bad as you are. Zing! Zing!
Oh my.
Just one time.
Is every zing going to be in the same pop?
This is going to be a 3-hour podcast.
No, just a few.
All right. And I also have Lita with me today. How you doing, Lita?
I'm good. I don't have an opening zing for you, Taryn. People are going to have to wait until a little later.
Yes, right. We'll be doing our zings after we do the update. For anyone that doesn't care about the zings, shame on you. But we'll be doing the update first, and then we'll.
By the way, for real, I in order to do this, I went back and watched Zingbot just to get ideas. You know, to get the zings flowing, and I actually didn't realize how slow he talks. Really,
it's horrible.
It's a while.
It's unbearable.
They really need to milk it. So. All right. So we started off the day. Christmas is getting her boot. You know, she's getting the cast off. It's going to be great. She's super happy about it. She's also happy with the plan to get Mark and then Jason out. She's off of the we need to get Alex out next train. Paul has successfully derailed that. And she talks about how she wants to get to the end with Josh and Paul. That's her final three. She has no plans to deviate from it. She says Paul told her he'd lose in the end against her. But she says, you know what? That wouldn't be a failure for Paul because he didn't even think he was going to get there in the first place. That would be a success for him. So it seems as though this is a little bit working here for Paul to convince her that she's going to lose here. What do you think, Lita?
Yeah, and her logic is that the jury will never vote for Yvette because based on every precedent we've had in every fans versus favorite season, that's totally sound logic, right?
Yeah.
She never even considers that Paul is playing her here. Nick, never does she verbalize to us. Like, Taryn, I have listened to you many times on this podcast, and so many times you give people a pass, and I don't totally, you know, I don't totally blame you because, you know, they're talking to other people, even though, you know, what they're saying is very much what they were saying when they were, you know, going into the Big Brother house. Hi, Alex, I'm talking about you. But in this case, she's directly talking to us, and she is giving us no indication that she's not buying his spin. And it's actually really pathetic.
Yeah, I mean, there's no indication here whatsoever that Christmas is planning on betraying Paul or if she's playing Paul in any way. She's basically using Paul's logic and defending Paul and trying to be like, you know what? I just really want to see Paul succeed. I think she later in the day says that she thinks that he's going to be considered one of the greatest players to ever play if he makes it to the final two.
And he's immediately but I won't win. Remember, I won't win. So
yeah. Oh, why is that? Why is that, Taryn? He's like, why is that? Oh my God. I want to strangle these people. See, Christmas is the worst kind of person. She's a self-righteous bitch who then thinks all of these people that she just met like 30, 40 days ago are her friends. And she wants to be there with her friends. Like you were cast on a show. If this show was really about that, and I'm talking about Matt too, okay? Like if this show was really about what you are making it, it would have been canceled. Can you imagine if this was the cast in Big Brother 2? Can you imagine if people like Matt were on Big Brother 2, who doesn't give a flip about the money, who just wants to hand it to other people? People like Christmas, who are so self-righteous and indignant that they just can't see past their own freaking ego. I'm just getting started, Taryn.
I mean, to be fair, there was a lot of talk on Big Brother 2 about handing the money to Krista.
I don't care about that.
But yes, very frustrating that these people are doing this. They also had Alex and Jason talked about how they are gunning hard for Matt and Raven. They were considering taking Kevin out first, but Paul kind of flipped that plan around the night previous where he said, you know what, we have to stick to this final four with Kevin. He actually kind of wants them to go after Matt and Raven. He kind of enjoys the two couples going after each other, and he has a contingency for whichever one happens to win HOH. If Alex and Jason win HOH and take out Matt, then he takes out Alex next because she's too dangerous. If Matt or Raven win HOH, they take out Jason for him, and so on and so forth. So he's basically like full in on this idea that like he wants Kevin in that final five, and he's willing to sacrifice Matt or Raven to do so. Lita, do you think this is a good plan?
Yeah. So he and Christmas talk about like, well, that wouldn't be the worst thing if this were to happen. And then they start recapping some of Raven's most recent fibs in the house, if you will, and say like, oh, well, she's able to lie about these things and she might be able to lie about bigger things, as if Raven's ever going to lie for an actual game purpose ever in this house. But I think the only real risk here is that Alex thinks that she is Paul's number one, and for him to blindside Alex, I think he could come back from blindsiding Jason. I think that Alex could still be on his side because she's willing to basically justify anything Paul does. But Alex is petty as F, and I don't know that Paul needs her jury vote, but I think this is one that he will lose.
Yeah, I think so too, because what I got out of this conversation more than anything was how loyal she is to Jason and Paul's plans to take him out next or the week beyond. I think will be problematic for him if Alex gets in any way a sniff that Paul has a hand in it. I really, really do think that it's going to be problematic for him. I think that there's no way that she would vote for him in the end after she so strongly believed in this whole franchise of friendship. I think there's no way, Taryn.
Yeah. And I mean, Paul's plan is the thing that you have to do, right? Where he plans on letting Matt or Raven win the HOH. They'll put up both Alex and Jason, and then he can go to Alex and be like, look, I'm just trying to save you. I'm sorry that we have to get Jason out, but with you two on the block, I'm obviously more loyal to you.
That requires Matt or Raven to win an HOH.
Yeah, it does. Which,
yeah, they are still off in La La Land thinking that, you know, they know what's happening. No one will put them up. Why would you put Raven up? She's America's sweetheart. Go ahead. I can interrupt you all the time. You do it too.
It's also trickier than you might think to do this. In Big Brother Canada 3, Jordan Parhar himself was in a situation where he let somebody from the other side win in order to target Johnny and Sarah, and he wasn't able to successfully convince him that he was mad about it. He wasn't mad enough about it the entire week. He wasn't like, wow, we need to figure out how to solve this. He was like, oh man, what are we going to do? And it turns out that like both of them end up turning on him because of that week. We could see Paul fall under the same trap, but we've seen so far that he's been pretty successful at playing these people, so I wouldn't hold out too much hope. But it is a tricky situation when you're betraying people on the sly, because if Paul really was like deathly loyal to Alex and Jason, he would be up in arms. He would be calling people out, and if they recognize that he's not doing that, then they could get a little upset. But we also had this whole thing. Mark has a campaign, and he's going to be campaigning throughout the entire day. This time he's going to be focusing on Kevin, Alex, and Jason. As I mentioned, this was throughout the entire day, so I kind of just want to like sum it up in one big thing, especially because nothing really ends up coming of it. But he basically goes to Kevin and Jason. He says, well, can you guys vote for me? We should take Matt out. They're actually kind of on board with this because they don't like Matt. Kevin especially wants Matt out of the game. They go to Alex. Alex says no. So then that's kind of already dead. Mark goes to Paul, who tells him no. Mark goes to Alex, who tells him no. And then basically he ends up talking to Alex and Jason again, like, seriously, guys, you should do this. They said, look, again, we said the same thing to Cody. If we end up coming into the jury house after you, you can punch us in the stomach.
I so look forward to that. I cannot wait.
Yes. And then Mark says, you know what? I hope you guys make it to the end. I hope you guys do, and I'll vote for you if you do. He also manages to call Paul a flip-flopper in that conversation, which ends up getting to Paul, and he's not happy about it. Brent, how did Mark do here? Should we give him like a C for effort?
Yeah, we'll give him a C plus. Actually, I think I'm grading on the curve comparatively to what I've seen. He made a consistent effort. He didn't give up when people said no. He still kept asking. He tried to get in their heads. He tried to say different things that I haven't heard him say to different people. He did repeat a little bit of the same stuff that Cody had been saying, like, you know, I'm a weapon. Weaponize me for you. I can be somebody for you. I can work for you. But on the other hand, he was telling people this, who he had just said to other people 10 minutes previous, that we can target them if you want. So they are really, really suspicious of him. I think Alex and Jason have the worst logic in the world, because they're like, you know, no, if we keep him, he's going to put us on the block. On the other hand, I was thinking about it, and I'm like, you know, you would think that left to his own devices, that Mark, if he stayed, would target Matt and Raven. But in order for him to stay, Matt has to go home, and he's not going to target Raven by herself. And I don't really know if he'd go after Christmas or Josh. So he might really go after like Alex and Jason. So I don't really see a path for him here.
Yeah, it really is a tricky situation. And I tried to outline a situation where Mark could potentially stay, but you know, with Matt up on the block, it's really, really difficult, because while Alex and Kevin and them really do want to see Matt go home, they don't even have the votes, even if they did agree to this plan. They still only have 3 votes. As long as Paul, Christmas, and Josh are against them, then Matt is going to stay regardless. So, you know, Mark is just, he's really stuck here, right, Lita?
Yeah, he's making good strides to make them more suspicious of people who aren't on the block, which does not help him at all. So he's saying that he tells Paul that he definitely has Kevin and Jason's vote. And that's a suspicious thing to say. And those two people are already at the front of mind as people to get out next week. But that does no good for Mark. Like, making other people targets who aren't on the block is not going to help you. So all he manages to do is sow further seeds of doubt for people that were already the targets next week. So like, good effort, I guess, but he doesn't have an argument against, you know, Matt or people that it would actually matter.
Yes. All right. So we also had a lot of Matt and Raven stuff over the course of the day, especially Raven. I mean, there was a lot of talk about Raven. And I mean, there was basically like a Raven exposed party in the house throughout the day. People just not happy with Raven. She's super annoying. They were screaming throughout the house. She was yelling Matt's name. You know, they end up doing plenty of other things later that night. There's also this thing, Bracelet Gate. Raven, who was making something in the kitchen, she took her bracelet off and then she lost it. She wears my bracelet. She ends up finding it under, I believe, the coffee maker or something along those lines. And she's convinced, utterly convinced, that somebody stole her bracelet and hid it from her. And she's on the warpath to find out who it is, Lita.
Abby Maria did it better.
It's true. It's true. Most people are like, she's crazy. Like, why does she think somebody did this? Why? Like, surely she just took it off, put it down, and a thing was placed over it. But she's like, no, it was somebody took it. It was Kevin. Kevin took it. He's the bad man.
This is just par for the course, though, Taryn. This is par for the course for this house. And, you know, the plans that Paul set in motion weeks ago, which is to totally ostracize and target one single person in the house and direct all your negative energy onto that person. Matt and Raven are already on the train for next week. Like, they're already ready to go with Kevin. In fact, like I said, if they win HOH, there's no way they're going to actually target Alex. I don't think. I think they're still going to go after Kevin. Maybe they will, maybe, because I know that Matt fears Alex and thinks that she's a formidable competitor and he doesn't see Alex in their final five. On the other hand, it's like with Raven going after Kevin like this, I just feel like it's more of the same of this house. Second verse, same as the first. Who's the bad person this week that we've got to get out next week? Let's direct our negative energy to that person so we can feel better about ourselves as the good guys of the house when you're really not. You're the villains. Girl, bye.
Well, they do plan on going after Jason at the moment. And I do think Paul will push them toward that.
I know. Everything is like, it's so weird when I do these updates, because everything is, well, I know that this is what they would do. But then Paul will come in and work his magic. And then they will say, oh, yes, master, please. Can I have another? Like, that's what's really going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, that's basically, like, again, like, there's so much. I'm updating you every day. I'm not going to repeat the same conversations that happen every day, but basically every day people are having this conversation, Matt in particular. Oh, Paul is just so good for us. We need to protect Paul. Somebody's going to take a shot at Paul, but we need to protect him because he gets us to the end. Paul does so much work. Paul is like the mastermind of the house. And you're thinking, oh my God, he's recognizing that Paul's mastermind in the house. Oh my God. And then he's like, so we need to protect him so that he gets us far. And it's like, no.
Because you're already far. You're already to the jury, which is where you said you wanted to be before you were going to make your big moves. So what happened to that plan?
Because Paul will never get any jury votes, remember?
I guess so. And the thing is, I don't think Matt believes that either. Matt thinks that Paul would win, but he also thinks that Paul would throw it to Raven. He said he thinks that Paul, with all of his jury votes, would be like, hey guys, I know you want to vote for me, but this girl sitting next to me has gone through so much in her life. We need to give her the money. Matt really thinks that's going to happen. He lives in a fantasy world.
How in the name of Jesus did they find this guy out of everybody in the United States?
Alex Kidwell recommended him.
Beautiful people out there, and I know he's pretty, but how do they find this guy who literally, I think, has never really watched a reality show in his entire life? Not just Big Brother. I don't think he's ever watched anything before. I think he's still living in 2000, where there was like no reality shows, and the idea of backstabbing someone is like totally inconsequential to any of these people, because he still thinks like he's the guy who would vote to keep Gretchen at the final 10 of Survivor Borneo. Like, he's that guy who would, you know, like, let's all just vote your conscience at this point, people. Like, whoever you think deserves to go home, Matt is that guy.
At least he's not using an alphabet strategy,
I guess. Like, I just don't understand it. I don't understand it. Oh, so Sarah in the chat room is saying he auditioned 6 years ago. I guess maybe just because he's pretty, but it's like something where he saw it on TV and he was like, oh yeah, I want to look good on TV. Maybe it was something like that. Who knows?
Wait, so they saw him 6 years ago and they were like, hold up, we got to save this guy for the perfect season, and then called him 6 years later. That's what happened.
I guess I should.
We're saving him for something special. This Matt guy.
Before I say repeat, I just repeat what's ever in the chat room before they put it up. I'm like, oh yeah, sure. Okay.
He needed more milk stains on his beard. That's, they needed more character. All right. So we also had Paul talking to Josh. Again, I talked about this yesterday. Paul really revealing a lot of his endgame plans with his allies here, Christmas and Josh. He ends up telling Josh, like, look, just get me to Final Five and I'll basically win out from there and I'll totally get you to the end. Like, which is fine if that's what you're trying to sell, Josh. But like, if Josh has any sort of brain in his mind, he'll say, wait a minute, how are you going to guarantee that I get to the end if you're winning all the competitions? Because you can't really protect anyone having won competitions in that final stretch. You know, like, I have to win a competition, or like, you have to win every single one. He even says, and this is the worst part, he says, I don't want to win the final five HOH, which is the one competition where I could maybe keep you safe. I do want to win the final four HOH, which guarantees that I can't keep anyone safe but myself. It feels very strange. I don't know why Paul is giving so much information away. It doesn't seem necessary to me. It probably will not amount to anything because this is Paul and everyone else that we're talking about, but I don't like this from Paul. I want him to keep these things closer to the vest, and I think he's just so excited about the fact that he's doing so well that he just wants to blurt it out to everyone.
Right, yeah, I mean, for more than anything, I think he's bored. Like he said earlier yesterday, or was later yesterday, he's like, today was such a terrible day, I just existed. And I'm like, that, this is the kind of monotony that he's dealing with right now. So I feel like he's bored and he wants to tell people, and thus it comes off to us as he's being sloppy. Remember last season, he never had anywhere near this amount of control. I didn't realize how lucky we were for people like Corey last season and James. Actually, I'm talking like the Zingbot again. People who were literally, I listen to it so much, sorry. People who are like literally trying to win the money. I mean, say what you want about Corey, but he wanted to win $500,000. And that is not true of the rest of this cast. It's crazy to me. And Paul is so ridiculous here because he's like, look, I don't want to win Final Five. I want to win the Final Four. And of course, I know in my heart that the reason he wants to win Final Four is because if he lands in the Final Four without HOH, or he beats the Final Five HOH and prevented from winning Final Four, he's only got one comp to make sure he's safe. And he's probably out if there's a pair with him in the Final Four, because they would vote Paul out and take their partner with them to the end. So, you know, I just feel like if this is too cute by half, I feel like he's bored more than anything. And that's why he's doing this. But will it amount to anything? Again, probably not.
Yeah, I just think that he's been the leader for so long and it's been going, you know, in their minds, it's been going well to the people in his alliance. It's like, okay, well, he's gotten us this far that they just hear his plan and don't even think critically about it. Because it's like, he's a vet. He knows what's coming. He knows how to do this. And he hasn't let us down yet. But this is not the time to be thinking about that, because they haven't gotten to the point where they cannibalize each other yet. So, of course, he hasn't let you down getting Jessica and Cody out. Like, as soon as he starts to make choices within his own alliance, that's when I think hopefully they will at least start thinking critically. But by then it might be too late for half.
I'm hoping that this is what I'm hoping, Lita. Again, I'm, you know, hoping against hope here, but I'm an optimist, I think, and I cover a show and I like this. I love Big Brother. That's why I cover it. I do hope that going into next week, when there's nobody left who's an obvious target, I mean, yes, you can say maybe Kevin is, but, you know, because he's not in anybody's version of a final whatever. They're not going to take Kevin out because he's so terrible at competitions. They're not threatened by him. When it dawns on Alex and Jason that Matt and Raven have hopped ahead of them on the totem pole, or if Matt and Raven end up on the block, if Alex or Jason wins HOH, I really think that the potential for drama and for critical thinking is there if they realize we're about to go home. And now maybe that will be too late, but whoever goes home will have a partner that's in there against, and that partner is going to stay in the house for another week and they could get talking. Again, I've seen no evidence that this is going to happen. On the other hand, we've never been at this point in a game before where they really have nowhere else to go but eat their own.
Yeah, and someone in the chat asked, why can't they just compare notes? Because if they do, they'll just assume that Paul is lying to the other people. Like, no one, everybody would be like, oh, that Paul, he's really got him fooled, hook, line, and sinker. Everyone will think that if they compare notes.
Well, and that's the problem. They already know that Paul is running in between all of the groups. He's been like, should I go and make a deal with them? And they're like, yeah, do that, Paul, do it.
That'd be hilarious.
Realizing that you're totally abdicating power by doing that. You're giving Paul all the choices. If somebody else wins HOH that you don't want to, they're not going to go after Paul. They're going to go after you. On the other hand, people like Matt are totally fine with that. They're like, well, you know, I would rather go up on the block than Paul because Paul's so awesome. Like you said yesterday, I'm so glad Paul is here because he shows us how to play to Big Brother. He shows us how to get things done. This is why I literally just want to strangle you, Allison Grodner. And I want to do it before I try to get cast on Big Brother 20. Like, why did you do this? There's a great article in the Washington Post. If you haven't read it, I've already retweeted it. I'll try to retweet it again about what happened this season on Big Brother. And even though the ratings are high, the gameplay is absolutely static right now. I'm sorry. I've only had 2 hours sleep, Taryn. And it's like it's night for me right now. It's like it's the LFC roundtable that I missed because I was seeing a fabulous eclipse on Monday. Sorry about your luck.
Yes. It's crazy because people like Alex and Jason are saying things like, you know, Alex is telling Jason, you know what? Matt and Raven think that they're in a final five with us. And it's like, you know that because Paul told you. You legitimately think that Matt and Raven, through Paul, who have never talked game with you, think they have a final five with you? You think that that's good? That you just were set up in a final five and never had to say a word? Like, of course that's fake. Why would they want that? It's insanity that they believe these things, but they do. And, you know, it's Paul's game. But really, I mean, so basically coming out of today, there really wasn't a whole lot to update. Mark is still going home. Jason is still the target next week. Matt could also be the sort of backup target if Alex or Jason win the HOH. So there's not a whole lot left to update. So we should get into these zings. We will be seeing the Zingbot tonight, but this morning we're going to do some alternative ones.
The library is open.
Yes. I feel like we should probably save Raven for last because she's probably like the person somebody's most into listening for a zing.
She's also one of the ones that I have multiple ones for too.
Oh, there you go.
Ooh, I only have in true Zingbot fashion. I only have one for each person.
Okay.
Oh, all right. So let's start.
Alex, with, Raven. I have multiples for. Sorry.
Let's start with Josh. We'll start with Josh. Brent, what do you have for Josh?
Like a Josh, again, I did so many of the Zingbot boys, but I really won't do it. Josh, Big Brother received a legal action from Orwell the Owl. He said that being forced to listen to your assessment of your game was cruel and unusual punishment. Zing!
Ooh. All right.
And Josh is my weakest one, but Josh and Kevin, I don't know why I couldn't find it. You'd think that people like this are so zingable, and yet, I don't know, I had trouble with both of them.
You love Josh too much. We mentioned this in the Roundtable podcast. You've bought Josh on the Stockwatch every single week.
I know. Really? Right.
Yeah.
All right. I got a lot of Josh stock.
What do you have for Josh?
Hey, Josh, how do you spell unwatchable? Seriously, you are so annoying and clueless about Big Brother. You make the LFC Roundtable look like they're a happy hour. Ding.
Oh, my.
Oh, see, okay, I like that because we balanced it. Because I slammed JP on my twofer at the beginning of the show, and now Lita gave
him
a little
love to JP.
I know, right? You gave him a little love. I know, I like that. That's so good.
All right. Well, let's go with Kevin next, if that's your other weakest one. We'll start with Lita this time.
Ooh, okay, well, listen, not all of mine are burns on the LFC. You just happen to have them all up front here. Kevin, you have absolutely no business in this house. If I wanted to see an old dude have no idea what he's doing, I'd watch Brent podcast about Big Brother.
Zing, zing. Kevin, you talk a lot about gangsters, charlatans, and thieves, so it should not be a surprise that currently you are being conned out of $500,000. God. Even you're pathetic, Kevin. Even you.
Oh man, poor Kevin. All right, let's do Christmas next. Brent, what do you got for Christmas?
Christmas. You are fit, feisty, and gorgeous. Here, eat some makeup because at least that way you can be beautiful on the inside as well.
Oh my!
Zing.
Yeah, it was a little harsh. Chris-
Sorry. Hey, Christmas, the kid from Home Alone called. He said you're still the worst Christmas he's ever seen. So bad it looped back around to being good in my mind.
There you go. All right. What do we have for Jason? Lita.
So they're all about the LFC. I promise I have ones that are just not the house
cast. She's obsessed with us people. Yeah, noted.
She just wanted an opportunity to zing the LFC.
I really did. I've been trying to do a roast of the LFC all these years. Let's see. Jason, get it together, dude. I haven't seen someone this far up in Alex's butt since Team Kidwell, and so you think you can podcast?
Yes.
Zing.
Zing. After what? Jason, after watching your game as an LFC for 7 weeks, I can honestly say you should just make y'all like your hairline and recede.
Why he's got the cowboy hat?
Yeah, not fooling anybody.
All right. What do we have for Alex? Brent.
Who's going first?
Yeah, these are multiple ones here. So, Alex, as a professional gamer, you must have practice using somebody else's controller because you play Paul's game so well. And by the way, Alex, it turns out the game controller from your intro package was a metaphor for your entire Big Brother game. Both had no power.
Yeah.
Do you guys remember that? You guys know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
This controller wasn't even like connected to anything.
Yeah, in her intro package, she was fake playing the game, sort of like what's happening now.
Yeah. All right, Lita, what do you got?
Alex, when Cody said you weren't his type, I assumed he was being racially insensitive. Now I know it's because his type isn't an irritating, entitled, childish, clueless bimbo. Oh, wait. Yes, it is. I forgot about Jessica. Yep. Still racist.
Oh, no fair. I bow at the throne of Queen Jessica. Come on. But I like the zing, though. It's very fun.
All right. Lita, what do you got for Mark?
Mark, you've been through a lot the past couple of weeks, and I feel really bad. I mean, I haven't seen a hot guy look this pathetic on TV since Mario Lopez started hosting Candy Crush.
Yes. Mark, with all those muscles, you look like the Incredible Hulk after he was exposed to gamma rays. On the other hand, the fans of your wussy game say it must have been exposed to beta waves. Zing! I see you, Christina, in the chat. I will defend Jess until the end. Anyway, she said, stop defending Jessica. She's gone.
All right. Let's go with Paul next. What do we got for Paul? Brent.
All right. This is a little racy. This is my raciest one. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't hear you.
No. Go ahead.
Okay. Paul, you remind me of losing my virginity. Short, unpleasant, and definitely did not finish first.
Oh, man. All right, Brent, okay. What do you got?
Paul, you've run into some trouble with the fans by trying to trigger Cody's PTSD. So as a gift, the fans send their regards with these four initials. GTFO.
Oh, man.
I almost screwed it up in my head. I'm like, GTOF? GTFO? Okay.
All right, Matt, let's go with Matt next. Brent, what do you got?
Oh, I don't know. I got to turn the page. Hold on one sec.
All right.
Matt, okay. Here we go. Matt, if there was a book written about your stay in the Big Brother house, it would be Flake Eats Flakes. Sorry. That was cheap.
Pretty cheap. Matt, I gotta admit, I'm having trouble seeing a way for you to win. I mean, it's hard to believe a mediocre, talentless white guy could have that much success just by being passably attractive and inoffensive. But then again, it worked for Taryn, so you know, I know.
Ring. Zing.
I wasn't sure where that was going.
Right. I was waiting for the punchline as well, but we got there.
Raven, how what are we gonna do? Raven is the final house guest here. Let's go.
We did him. Okay, cool.
Yes. Yeah, Raven's zings.
Let's do her first. I have two. I forget the order they go in.
All right, Lita.
Okay. Raven, it's truly amazing that you're even here with us today. No, I mean it's fucking amazing that these people have not evicted your obnoxious ass just so they don't have to live with you. That's
right.
It.
Brent, what do you got?
Raven, we received a four-word coded distress message from your mother, but didn't understand. Maybe you can help. She said, "You're blowing our cover." All right, I have one more for Raven. Raven, after listening to your voice with 20 different accents this summer, I can honestly say that Edgar Allan Poe had it right the first time about the Raven. Nevermore, bitch, nevermore.
There you go. All right. Unless there's any extra zings here, I believe that's it for our zing competition. Who did better, Lita or Brent? Zing them in the chat.
I feel like I kept up with her this time. Like in the RuPaul's Drag Race, if you guys listen to that, she fucking destroyed me. Sorry, I didn't mean to swear. She destroyed me. She really did. But here, I feel like I was closer to the throne of Lita. I really did.
And as he's saying that, I'm seeing like 10,000.
Go to hell, all ya!
Thanks, guys.
All right. So I hope
you guys. A comedy writer. Listen, I have to tell you guys this. My friend, the one who I texted about last night, you know, I sent a text and said, you know, this is what it's like to be friends with him. He said, message a bitch after you fail your zing test. Meaning, call him. Message me after you fail your zing test. I'm like, well, see, I didn't totally fail.
No, you did great.
Thank you.
All right. Well, I know Lita was a little worried about zinging me because she was like,
apparently not.
They're all going to come for me. They're all going to come for me if I make fun of you. So don't.
Karen stands scare the crap out of me. Please don't come for me.
Well, I hope you guys enjoyed our zing off. We'll see if the actual official zings are any better or worse than this.
Unlikely. By the way, I really agree with the person who said, after watching all of the Zingbot things back to back like I did earlier yesterday, that Kathy Griffin, I forgot about this actually, when Kathy Griffin came in the house and the Zingbot was giving out props. Do you guys remember this? I had kind of forgotten about it actually. And he was giving everybody compliments. He's never been the same since. They never totally fixed him on the reboot.
Yeah, I mean, it happens. And you know, they really need like some extra harsh ones for these people, right? Like, the people really want to see them zinged. That's why we brought you this zing off. So I hope you guys enjoyed it. I hope you guys liked the update. We'll be back tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. Eastern to update you on everything that's happening on the feeds. Make sure you check out the Terran Show with Eric Stein. Very, very awesome conversation with Eric. He talked about Big Brother 8, how frustrated he was with that experience, made a very bold claim about his Big Brother prowess, and talked about his mystery job and everything regarding that, and lots of other stuff. I've already gotten a lot of great feedback.
I've heard it's a really good show, actually. I've heard it's a really good interview with Eric.
Yeah, he's full of stories. He's hilarious. So make sure you check it out. And then we will be live tonight after the Beto episode with the Zingbot, and then tomorrow night as well after the live eviction show, we'll be talking about Big Brother. Lots of fun stuff coming up, so make sure you check it all out. We also just released our newest American Ninja Warrior podcast, Lita and I, where we talked about what a train wreck Kansas City was. So make sure you check that out.
Like really 10 seconds. I've watched an hour and a half of that show. Explain to people why it was such a train wreck. It was the broken pipes, right? Is that what you guys?
That's certainly part of it.
And everyone was bad at American Ninja Warrior, which is a problem if you're on American Ninja Warrior.
Well, I was listening to some president's address. I don't know who, but it interrupted my show, and I had to I lost a half hour there. So
they didn't miss much.
Yeah, American Ninja Warrior has lots of all star competitors, really great people, and then in Kansas City there were none of them.
Well, I need to go watch it then.
Yeah. All right. So that is our podcast. Thank you all for joining us. We will see you next time.